Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. Pew! Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor, and Ben, have you recovered from this weekend?
No.
Bro, action on action.
Because it's not over. I mean, after we get done here, I mean, I got more baseball to watch. So it's not even close to being over for me.
We got golf winding up.
Golf that's going to go on into the evening, and match play. We're going to be involved in match play unless we just absolutely have the meltdown of the century throughout the day today.
On top of all that, the Masters lottery opened today.
So Masters lottery opens today.
You're welcome, listeners.
We actually got two guys that can win the individual national title.
Just like play in the Masters.
Yeah.
No, well, it needs to be Gilly. Well, I don't know. He's probably going to turn pro too. It doesn't matter. Let's start at the top.
Well, it needs to be Jackson because that's the Grand Slam. He'll win the Hogan. That's the last thing
that's evading him is an individual.
That's the one thing that he has not been able to get. So
I'm just saying, like, he would not. Doesn't the NCAA national champion get an invite to the Masters?
I think so. Well,
but if you're pro, you don't get to go. Like, you turn pro, you kind of forfeit that invitation.
Is he turning pro? He's got one more year of eligibility.
Well, he's gone. Just get ready.
The pro guys told him, stay in school as long as you can.
Dude, no, he's gone. Like, there's no chance. There's zero chance he comes back.
He's making 1.8 if we up it to 2.
He's not making 1.8.
I thought with all his endorsements and stuff like that, I think that's what his value was valued at.
He may have that value, but that's not what he's making at Auburn. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked. Let's start with, where do you want to start? Baseball, recruiting, golf? Like, where do you want to start?
All the above. Let's start with baseball because that's what people are going to be listening to us as they're heading to the game today. So
baseball, obviously you're playing for a super regional berth tonight. You got a little bit of revenge back from Milwaukee who jumped on you in that game one, and you play them again tonight or in just an hour or so whenever you're listening to this. What a night yesterday. What a day yesterday was.
How long did y'all go barncast wise? I
couldn't make the second game.
I knew at one point in time Lindsay and Brad went on.
But that was not on the barncast. The barncast, for the most part, was me, Zach, Lindsay Crosby did jump in on that one. But I want to look really quick because I think it was over 7 hours long just for that one game.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they'd asked me to go, and I had been into the sauce a little too much. That's the last
7 hours and 8 minutes, and 30,000 people watched it.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. I'm really glad I didn't jump in.
I was so proud. I was so proud of our fans, man, because now scratch Auburn's back for lowering the hot dog prices and the drink prices to keep people there. But I had buddies texting me after game one, and they're like, dude, let's go. I got an extra ticket. We can go, have, cheap hot dogs and watch the game. And that didn't get over until past midnight. I was just so exhausted. I couldn't do it. But, man, we turned out. They turned out for that game.
We did.
And it was an electric atmosphere.
I think a lot of people from out of town stayed for today, from what I've been told. And – it's funny. I'll tell you this about that, Kyle. Number one, I'd been in the sauce a little bit, but number two, I was like, I'm staying up. I'm watching this. I'm watching us win this ball game.
Yeah.
I woke up at 2:30 in my chair. So
yeah,
I never made it. I don't know how the game ended. I don't remember what inning I dozed off, but Loria clearly had given up on me. She'd already gone to bed. She just left me in there. And so I dozed off, but I will not be dozing off during the 5 p.m. game today.
I was talking with someone, and we were talking about the MVPs of yesterday. And
you want to do MVPs of yesterday? Or you want to do MVPs of what I've seen thus far on the whole weekend?
I mean, we can talk about that, but I mean, just yesterday in general.
Yeah.
There's a good argument, I think, for Petrovic. With all of the adversity that he had to go through with the delays and everything. Obviously, there's an argument for Chase, who's just having a freaking Bingaman too, but Chase was hit some bombs in really clutch situations yesterday in both games. And then who was the other one? Hutzler. The is it Hutzler? Is that how you say his last name?
Hutzler is one, but I was going to say Cade Ballew too, because Cade Ballew.
Cade hit three.
That's the thing. He came into the series.
He's hit four all year.
Yeah.
And three of them were in yesterday.
And he had not had a home run since, I think, like the first month of the season. Like he was on.
Oh, and he made that big play up against the wall too. Like he had a really good defensive play that could have started that game off, you know, on the wrong foot. He made a really good play.
Kyle, if I told you going into Sunday, you're going to have to play two games today, Kyle, and you can only use three pitchers, and you would be like, well, that's a loss.
We're toast.
We may win one of them, but we're not winning both games using three pitchers all day long. And that's what I found hilarious in postgame when Butch.
Wait, I thought we used four.
We ended up using four, but like, I thought we only used three because Hutzler finished after Petrovic. Nobody else came.
No. Hold on. He pitched with LJ, and he pitched he pitched five no hit innings. I can't remember who went in after Petrovic, which is not good. Keep talking.
It may have been four then. Keep in mind, I fell asleep.
You did.
but still, even four. That's what I found funny when Butch said, I gotta, you know, I'm looking to see, you know, what arms we can use for Monday.
No, you're right. Hetzler did go in.
Yeah.
He did go in after Petrovic.
Yeah.
I'm stupid. But did he go in again?
He started the next game. That's what made him MVP. He finished and then started the next game. I mean,
I fell asleep too. So
he's a machine.
I mean, dang, you're right. You're right. So he pitched three innings in that game, four. So he pitched seven straight innings, yep. And he only gave up one earned run?
Yes.
Wow.
He's my MVP. Because he also
he's the MVP.
He also took time off in between, still stayed warm. He did what you see guys do in Little League. And he did it at the collegiate level and at the highest level here in regions, you know, in regionals. So
he threw right at 104. He threw 104 pitches.
Yeah,
and Petrovic threw 109. Both of those guys are
unbelievable
performance. So, you're right. So you were right. We did only use three.
Yeah,
pitchers.
I thought we only used three. I was like, well, maybe they used two after that. But so
we used two each game, but one of them was the same guy.
Yeah, one of them same guy.
That's incredible.
And so when Butch said, I don't know what arms were going, and I was like, dude, you only burned three pitchers on Sunday.
Like, yeah, that was a blessing. That was a blessing.
I was like, you got some Saturday guys that can go. You got some Friday guys that can go. I was like,
you could throw Jake if you wanted to again.
Yeah.
I still think that was an anomaly. Like, no chance that happens again, right?
You know, with Marciano, and I'm okay with throwing him again because they had the perfect game plan. Marciano is always around the plate. He does not throw a lot of balls. He does not walk a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And so that coach was asking postgame from Milwaukee, you know, you were successful against one of the most successful pitchers they have. What gives? And he was like, oh, we told our guys he's going to be around the plate. Just go up there swinging. And if you notice, they didn't take a lot of pitches.
No, they didn't. They were swinging.
And they just happened to put the ball in play in the right places. They didn't murder him. They didn't get – they had a bomb.
They had two bombs. They had two that were no doubters.
They had some
– a lot of dink and dunk. Like one inning, for instance, I think he hit somebody or walked somebody.
Exactly.
And then they had that little pop-up bunt that he dove for, I think, and couldn't get to it. And that led to a home run. Like, you know what I mean? So some weird stuff did happen in that game for sure.
Made a few errors. You know, Auburn made a few errors.
Errors. Same thing with Andy. Like, he was honestly unbelievable. But we had a few – of those droopy little shots and errors and stuff like that. I think only two of his runs were earned of the six or whatever that were scored while he pitched. It's just been a weird weekend, but Sunday was incredible, and we get to do it again tonight. And I feel like we have all the momentum. Like it should be.
Well, here's what people need to be happy about: the bats are hot right now. Because even though we got beat Friday night. Or Friday afternoon, we still scored eight runs. Like
exactly.
The bats are fine. So, you know, everybody's like, man, if we can just hit this afternoon, like the people at the office this morning, they were like, if we can just hit this afternoon, I was like, hitting hasn't been the issue.
Yeah.
We've been hitting the ball. So whatever approach Gabe's got him doing, keep doing it. Let's just hope the pitching stands up, and it's going to be probably by committee today. Milwaukee's going to be by committee as well. They're out of guys. I mean, this is when you go to the seventh game, this is what you run into.
We've played one more game, but we will have played one more game. But with the way yesterday went, you know, I think Milwaukee pitched four guys against us.
We've used less pitching in more games.
Yeah. So you'd think it's advantage Auburn. I can't wait to see who they run out there, and hopefully.
Oh, pitching is definitely advantage Auburn. I mean, I know that people are looking, and you're probably going to see a little bit of Marciano today. I don't know if he'll start, but he's got a fresh arm. I mean, he pitched Friday and he got run early, so he only threw like 30 pitches or something like that. So you will see him today probably, even if it's for an inning, you may see him. And so advantage Auburn, anytime you can throw a starter out there, regardless of how his previous outing was, if you can throw a starter out, which they won't, they'll be throwing bullpen guys.
Yeah.
Milwaukee will. So Auburn technically can probably throw two starters out there today and then depend on some middle relief from the bullpen and depend on that gosh darn Chase Fraley to keep hitting balls off Sewell Hall out there. How about that?
Golly, that last one he hit, was it the last one that was the longest one? It was like 450 feet.
So. Yeah, it was. Well,
he hit a couple of home runs that I bet you could draw like a 10-yard circle.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And they'd go in. They'd all be in it.
Well, that's what I told Daryl, because, you know, I have Daryl on my show on Mondays, and he was talking about the Barncast, and people were talking about, you know, the ball flying further. I was like, bro, some of those balls that Chase Fraley hit would have gone out of any park in America. If it had been 32 degrees outside, the heat didn't have nothing to do with it. Those balls were getting out.
It was traveling, though. And we did find out that humidity does make the ball go further, believe it or not.
I know. That's what he told me. I was shocked.
I did not know that.
You got some smart people in the Barncast that are coming.
Well, I Googled it. And Google.
So Google
never lies. Google never lies.
You know, I told Daryl, though, Kyle, I don't know how you and I didn't know that. We talk about how much further a golf ball goes when it's hot and humid.
In the summer, man, it goes forever.
Yeah. And so
why haven't we thought about it?
I didn't apply that to baseball.
Why wouldn't it apply? We're stupid.
Yeah.
All right, let's switch gears.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put this up way before. I'm going to put this up at like maybe 1:30 or something like that. So instead of 4, so people got plenty of time to get amped before the baseball game. Golf. Let's go golf, and then we'll do recruiting. The guys are just lighting it up as expected. We are so good in stroke play.
Auburn and Texas look like two teams that don't belong in this. They look like they belong playing for like the Ryder Cup team.
No doubt. You got Josiah Gilbert, who's actually got a realistic shot to win. He's only 2 shots back of the individual title. And then you got Jackson, who, if something magical happens today, you know, he could possibly – he's only 5 shots back. So
he goes low and he goes 6 or 7 under today, which he's done. He can do. I don't know that he will, or because to him the team is more important than individual. And I think, you know, he doesn't want to do things he shouldn't do, like take on pins he shouldn't take on. But if he were to go 6 or 7 under, I think he's
got a 22-shot cushion over the cut.
I know. Right now they're playing for seeding. They're, you know, because it's going to be 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7 when they do match play. So they want to be one. But the thing is, they still got a 10-shot cushion over the third place team. So
yeah, no, more than that. It's 13 shots.
Yeah.
Over Vanderbilt.
Listen, if you're the 1 or 2 seed going into match play, which would be them or Texas, because they don't get any – I think you get a little plaque. I think they give you like a plate or something if you win stroke play.
Get that out of my face.
Yeah, so they'll be playing it's okay to be one of the top 4 seeds. So
well, here's the thing, though. Like, is it – It's not a true seed because they seed you by the where you finish.
Yeah, by where you finish.
So, like, for example, Virginia is the number 4 team in the country, and Florida is the number 2 team in the country, and they're both right at, by the cut line. So if they sneak in as the 8 seed, like, do you really gain anything? Like, is it really that good to be the number 1 seed because you're playing the number 4 team in the country? Whereas, you know, let's see, the Texas is set up. They're at the 2 right now. They play the 7. Well, it's North Carolina. They're a top 10. UCLA is the 30th team in the country, and they'd play Arizona, the 12th team in the country, as the 4 and 5 seed. So, like, it's not really – that's why I hate the format. I hate that that's how they determine the seeds.
Like, I hate that you
– re-rank it.
I also hate that you don't get a stroke play title and a match play title.
I'm okay with that. I want one title. I just don't want stroke play. I don't want match play to be in it. But regardless,
yeah,
I say all of that to say it would take a colossal disaster for them not to make match play.
Oh, it would take more than a colossal disaster. I mean, they'd literally have to WD. Yeah. I mean, because you also got to think those teams down there trying to get in are shooting at pins and doing things they shouldn't be doing, and they could maybe even put up a high number. Like, we don't know who will finish like inside that top 8. That's that, because they're all kind of bunched there together.
They are.
So
let me ask you this, Ben. This is maybe psychotic, and if it is, whatever. Well,
it's you talking about golf? So
yeah. Is there ever a reality where you're scoreboard watching? When I say you, Coach Kleinard, scoreboard watching. Okay,
I know exactly where you're going with this. I know exactly, because I actually was going to bring this up to you.
And you're like, okay, man, I would really like to play the 7 seed and not the 8 seed. And you're like, should we miss this putt? Should I tell them to miss this putt on purpose?
You know the problem with that?
Yeah.
Because, and I totally thought about doing it. I was like, oh, man. But I've forgotten, because Riley reminded me this morning, your top guys go out. They do a complete opposite of PGA Tour. Your top guys go out first. So you can't do that.
Well, they got a late tee time.
Oh, did they? Did they switch it for the men? Because the women,
they're trying to go out. They're trying to go out for like prime time. Like, we tee off around. Let me look at the tee times. We tee off later in the day, like almost 3 o'clock.
Oh, well, then they did switch it then. Because we were talking about it, like with the women, they put the top teams out first. And so they're just chilling. Like, they've gone back to their hotels because they know they're in match play. It's the people that are right there on the bubble that have to wait around. So
hold on. Let me make sure I'm right on this.
You were wrong on the
No. All right, here's the deal. They have a group starting on the front and a group starting on the back. Okay. We go off last off of the front. So okay. We do go off last.
Okay, good. Then, yeah. So your scenario does work out. Does Kleinard scoreboard watch to go, I don't want to take on Florida in round one.
Yes, so, that's what I'm saying.
So let's,
would that not be the smart thing to do?
I would do it. I wouldn't even need Kleinard to tell me to do that. I would do that as a player.
Especially if it's not a guy that's like in the running to win the individual title.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there is no – I'm doing that.
If it's like Caden Pope, it's like, Caden, you're – love you, brother. And he's playing good. Like, it's not like he's playing horrible or anything. But, no, yeah, he's only – what is he for the day? Or what is he for the tournament? He's +4 for the tournament.
Okay.
If he happens to have a counting round and you're like, Caden, let's double this one. Let's double this one and we probably get a better matchup. I don't know. I don't think you can do that. I think there's too much going on with golf. Like, he could double that one and then turn around and double the next one. But the thing is, like, you're not going to not make the cut, right? Like, you're not going to not make the cut.
You're not going to not make the cut. Because
so you got to be thinking matchups, I feel like.
No, they haven't shot – I don't think they've shot over par all year. And the thing is they're 13 shots clear of number 3.
Yeah, dude.
They're not – I mean, that means they'd have to shoot 13 over just to get tied with 3 right now.
Or they'd have to shoot like five or six over and everybody else go nuts.
And we know that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. If everybody else
goes nuts, that means the course is playing easy.
Yeah, if everybody else goes nuts, we're going to go nuts.
I am curious pin placements because they made it a little tough yesterday because Koivun was – he shot a 40 on the front.
He did. I was joking. I was like, I think I could have beat him on the front.
Yeah. Now, one of those, the double, I don't know if you paid attention, the double or not, he sculled it twice over the green.
Oh, did
he? I don't know what he was trying to do.
I can do that in a heartbeat.
I was going to say, I don't know if he was trying to hit a flop shot or what, but he took the long walk of shame. He sculled it over the green, walked over, sculled it back over the green, and it was like, bro, just get it down, please. Let's just
get it in the hole. So, anyway, if you want to watch that tonight, it's going to be going on about the same time. I think the coverage, TV coverage, actually starts at exactly 5:30 on the Golf Channel. So, yeah,
they're on the West Coast.
On the Barncast tonight, we're probably going to be toggling between them. So, that'll be fun.
It'd be nice.
Especially, man, if Gilly could get hot and he's got a chance to win it, that would be an epic Barncast.
He's only baseball and golf. He's only two shots off the lead. That other guy could go out there and post doubled on the first hole. He'd be tied right away.
For sure. Let's wrap it up with recruiting really quick. Alex Golish sent everyone into a freaking frenzy this weekend.
I was one of them. Like I said that I was watching Twitter, even though I'm watching the game and watching the Barncast as well. But I didn't want you to know that I was watching it because I knew you'd ask me to jump on there, and I was not in position to do so. But when I was going back and forth on Twitter, and I was like, bro, I don't know whether to count home runs or count all these war damn eagles that I'm getting out of Alex Golish throughout the weekend. Like, I'm going 7 back and forth. And that's about how many home runs I saw yesterday. So I got 7 war damn eagles and 7 taters. So
for those that don't follow it very closely, okay, coaches come up with like their – we call it a bat signal. And we called it a bat signal, I think, because – I think we started calling it a bat signal around – I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Gus.
It was Gus.
But it could have been Malik Autry that we – because he started doing the – no, because he was doing the play off of the bat signal. Okay, I got it. So it was probably Gus. Gus would do the boom, and then he'd have an exclamation point for the number commit in the class. So if it was like the 10th commitment in the class, it'd be boom, 10 exclamation points.
Yep.
Okay, so that got pretty easy to figure out. So Alex is just like – Hugh never figured it out. It was all kind of different stuff. Yahtzee, freeze Yahtzee. Warning, and all that junk.
The freeze warning was great.
Yeah.
But he wanted to use Yahtzee, and it's like, that's stupid.
Quit doing that. Exactly. He should just say, got him, and then put the freeze emoji for the number of commits. But anyway, so Golish has just simply gone with war damn, I think. He loves saying war damn, so he's just simply going with war damn. And yesterday, what he was doing, or over the weekend, he'd put an eagle beside it. And then, so it was like war damn, 1 eagle. And then a few hours later, it was war damn, 2 eagles. So people were like, oh, that means another one. And then it was like war damn, 3 eagles, war damn, 4 eagles. And we're like, my gosh, we got 4 commits from the official visit weekend. Well, by the time it ended, there were 7. Then.
Yes.
So 7 eagles. So essentially what he's saying is 7 guys over the weekend have pledged to Auburn. And so far, we know for sure 2 have committed, and when we're recording this, we think there's going to be already another one. So we think there's going to be 3 commitments so far, and so that means there's 4 left. So there is a lot of action, which is funny, Ben, because – and I'll try to make this quick because I know we're pushing time, but the messaging before spring was that this was going to be a smaller class,
mm-hmm.
you know, 15, 16 guys. Well, if all of those 7 guys pledge that are theoretically out there in the ether, if all 7 of those guys pull the trigger, we're at 16 commits already. And they don't seem to be slowing down anytime soon. This is what I love. The ability, because I'm sure, just like anything, you have expectations, and then when you actually get into it, it's like, holy cow, these guys, we have – the resources to go get better guys than maybe I even believed. Let's adjust some things.
Yep.
We can reshape a roster pretty quick and get guys that buy in to culture and they're good. You know, maybe we got better options than we thought we did. So let's back up change the plan and pivot. And it seems like they've pivoted, and maybe this is a bigger class now, like maybe 20 or 20 plus commits.
Well, I keep saying this over and over. I've said it with you. I've said it with Zach when I've had him on. I've said it with Daryl when I've had him on. Success begets success. And yeah. The thing is I think they're getting into this and they're getting these commits. And I think that's stirring the pot with some other guys. And some other guys are like, okay, I see what Auburn's doing. So, you know, they start because, look, everybody – I know that everybody still wants to make this about money. And trust me, a lot of it is about money. I get it. NIL, you got to pay kids to get them here. But these kids also, deep in their core, Kyle, they want to win. And they want to be around a bunch of successful dudes. So, you know, success begets success. So when you start getting those commits and those war dams with those Eagles showing up out there, those recruits look at that too, dude. I mean, they're not – they. Recruits follow recruiting sites just as much as people like
me. Oh, for sure.
And they start.
They'll get caught up in it.
Yes. And trust me, you know, because both of us have heard from people before off the record. Their parents do too.
Oh yeah.
There's and no so, doubt about it. Hey, when grandma's logging in to see war dams with seven Eagles out there, then grandma's even getting in on the action. So, I'm excited about it. I do. You know, we thought small class between 14 and 17. Kyle, do we change that number 16 to 20?
No, I think it's going to be – I mean, I don't think it's anywhere near going to end on 16. So, wow. probably 20 may be the number.
So we say 18 to 22. I always give them a window because you know one guy's probably going to flake on us.
Yeah, I mean, maybe 18 to 22.
Yeah.
That's but crazy. I would say that 20 number is probably a pretty smart number. Because, I mean, I can still think of even if I play the game of who are the seven, and I think we may know who those seven are, there's still like three or four more that out there that I know we want. Well, that now puts you at that puts you at 20 right there.
Yeah.
So it's like it feels like that 20 number may be the minimum now. Which is
it
awesome.
It could be because, as I just said, you know, when you get to that 17 number and some of those guys see that they're buddies or they're guys that they've been going these camps with, and then all of a sudden, you know, you start seeing people start switching a little bit. I mean, you saw the flip from Bama to Auburn this weekend. So,
yeah,
little things like that.
People
that
argue that that wasn't a flip.
Well, it was a flip.
Because it wasn't simultaneous. But, like, he decommitted, like, a month ago. And then he commits. So, like, people say a flip has to be like,
no,
you're committed, and then now you're committed somewhere else. That's a flip.
Who told you that, Alabama fan?
No, Zach. Zach doesn't count it. We're just being funny. It's good stuff. I like Nash. You got Nash and Ash so far. And then I've been told there's a commitment at 12. We're recording this obviously before 12. And I'm nervous to say his name, so I'm not going to say it. But I think by the time you're listening to this, there's probably another commitment at 12. So we'll see.
Will you say his position?
No.
I can't. Will you say if he plays offense or defense?
No. I don't want to burn anybody. It'll be a good one, though.
One, you don't want to burn anybody. Number two, Kyle.
I'll say this, 4-star. How about that?
Okay, I'll take that.
You'll take that?
I'll take that.
Guys, thank y'all for listening. We're so much action, we didn't even do an ad read. So go to buyauburn.com, obviously, and then go to aushirts.com.
Go to
Hey, how about this, Ben? We on the Barncast, we told the chat to come up with a t-shirt idea. We made the t-shirt on the Barncast and then sold several on the Barncast.
Okay, so what's the shirt? Describe it really quickly.
It just says every single day. So in other words, like we're on every single day, single day. It's very simple. It looks pretty sweet. So go check out the Every Single Day shirt. Named it after the guy that came up with it. So if you get in the Barncast, you could come up with a t-shirt idea. We'll make it, then we'll sell it.
All of you push Kyle to do Nate Oates as a scumbag t-shirt.
Yeah.
He needs the push from the people that you will buy it. Right now, I'm the only one that's going to purchase it.
I don't want to get sued. I'm going to do it. I'm going to come up with something.
Okay.
Y'all take it easy. We will talk again very, very soon. The action keeps rolling tonight, so lock in.
I love it.
Ben, good to talk. We out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.